Blog Talk Radio.
Returns August 6, 2013, 2 days from the very first preseason football game where my very own Dallas Cowboys took out the Miami Dolphins. Doesn't really mean much, but it's still nice to see a win. We are here on a special day and a special time. We're usually here on Tuesday, but we decided to do a later show to accommodate our special guest, and more on our special, very special guest in a moment. But before we introduce him, let me bring on my two co-hosts, the EAFL Super Bowl I winner, the man with the PhD, the West Coast man himself, Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? Thank you for that intro, bro. Congratulations to your Dallas Cowboys for kicking off the season with a win. Hey, yeah. I will say this though: you did see the addition of Money Kiffin.
Yeah, you did.
It is making a difference. I'm kind of wondering how that defense is going to look once the season starts. As you know, that defense is straightforward, very vanilla.
Yeah.
It's all about fundamentals.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Nice,
yeah. Yeah. Any Cowboy fan had to be a little excited to actually see turnovers and just things that we haven't seen in the past under Rob Ryan's defense. But let's bring on our other co-host. This guy is annually one of the best Madden players in the world. Big Pittsburgh Steelers fan living out in the Midwest, Indianapolis, and he comes to us tonight via almost time for Madden 25 to be released. We may have to talk about that at some point. But in the meantime, tonight's a special show on a different topic, but, you know, it's not one that K-Star himself would ever miss. So, K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, yo? How's everyone doing tonight?
Good.
What's up, K-Star?
Good. So, you know, the weekend, we had a good football weekend. We had the Hall of Fame, speeches. We had a Hall of Fame game. And, you know, for all of us football people, it was a nice way to start the season. And the last 48 hours, we have been smothered with baseball news, with the pending suspension. Well, I guess it's official, but he's going to appeal it, A-Rod and all of that. And, you know, what I found interesting is that the news story, the football news story of this year is almost, you know, it's kind of on the back burner. You get 3 or 4 minutes of it here and there, but it's either feast or famine with the media, and it's either, you know, they that's all they want to talk about, or now that A-Rod is front and center, now that's all they want to talk about. But, you know, a man sits accused of murder in a jail and not convicted of anything, and he sits there without his liberty, and I hope people keep that in mind. And so as everybody, as most of the listening audience knows, I am from and currently live in Bristol, Connecticut. So I have many ties to many people from Bristol, Connecticut. And I'm quite fortunate to have a friend who has agreed to come on the show. Now let me just let everybody know that, you know, he has been sought after by networks and other shows, and so you may see him down the road doing other interviews, but tonight we got him. He's here with the Madden Voice, Now, this is the cousin of Aaron Hernandez. And before I bring him on the show, let me just say this. We've heard the sports writers. We've heard the news reporters. We've heard the legal experts. We've heard the pundits. We've heard everybody with all of their viewpoints. But we haven't heard from the family. We haven't heard from anyone except maybe the lawyer who really didn't say much of anything, but that's probably because they can't. But other than that, we haven't heard from anyone directly connected to Aaron. And so we are honored to bring on to the show, and let me bring him on now. Aaron Hernandez's cousin, Randy Garcia, welcome to the Madden Voice.
How you doing, Commissioner T?
It's good to have you on the show, brother.
Thank you for having me on the show. Yeah, thank you for having me, and a shout-out to K-Star and a shout-out to Train also.
Oh, nice to meet you, man. Welcome to the Madden Voice. Glad to have you.
Yeah, man. Happy to have you tonight, man.
Yes, yes.
So let's jump right into it. And my first question is, you know, talk to us about being a family member and watching all of the media coverage. Talk to us about how you feel the media has portrayed your cousin and his alleged involvement in this crime.
Well, first off, you know, the media is really portraying him to be a monster that he's not. And growing up as the family back in the 60s and the 70s and early 80s, we were a close bonded union, family. And we supported each other, and that's the way it still is today. We know that Aaron is sitting in prison, and we know that he's, I would call it suffering a little bit because he can't see his family or he can't see, the people that really care about him. But we know the media has to portray something, and they have to do their job in getting the story ampered up a little bit. But we just keep praying, you know, that we keep praying from every day, and we keep praying for the family and for the Olden Lords family also, because they lost a victim in this situation too. And, we're letting God handle everything. You know, we just want to let Aaron know that we support him and we're family, and that's what family does in these type of situations.
Makes sense. Let's bring us back to when the news started covering the crime, originally we heard about Olden Lloyd being murdered, and they said Aaron was not a suspect. He was someone that they were talking to, but we could see each day there was more focus on his house in North Attleboro. While he was still out and about and doing his thing, were you in touch with him? Were any family in touch with him? Were there any fears that this was inevitable, or was this a big surprise when the next thing you know, y'all saw the police go in and put him in handcuffs?
You know, it was for us when we first heard the news and we first heard the story. I was sitting in my room, and I was watching ESPN, which I watch a lot of because we are, as you can see, we're a very sports-oriented family. So at the beginning, we really thought that the reporters got, the wrong story. They got the wrong guy. A suspect. Suspect for what, That was our question. But they kept going on. The investigation kept going on. And then finally, when they put him in handcuffs, we were like, I had tears in my eyes when that happened, because this incident wasn't the guy that we saw grow up. And for them to allegedly say that he committed this crime, we were going crazy. We was like, ain't no way. There's no way possible that Aaron Hernandez did this. That's how we saw it, and that's how we took it. And, we have to let, like I said, justice play out, I guess.
Right. So have you had it at any point in time since the murder took place, were you in a position where you were able to have a conversation with your cousin at all?
No. As we see it right now, we tried to go up to the Attleboro prison, and we got rejected because he could only have immediate family visit him. We didn't have, I guess we weren't on the visiting list or something like that. So it was kind of hard for us to go up there to see him or have any kind of talk with him. But like I said, you know, I've talked to his mom, and I had a conversation with his brother, DJ. And basically, you know, we were saying, I was telling DJ that somebody has to come forth and take all the negative, all the negativity out of this equation, because that's not the Aaron Hernandez that we know. And we're not going to let the media destroy his reputation of what he is. I mean, we all knew that he was going to be a football star ever since he was 12 years old, 13 years old. We knew that he was going to make the NFL. This is how sure we were that he was on this God-given earth to play football. And, you know, like I said, things happen, and things happen for a reason. But as far as contact is concerned, we weren't allowed to go see him.
Let me go in a different direction for a second. So Aaron's arrested. He's handcuffed. He's taken out of his home. It's all over worldwide television. He's put in the back of the police car and taken away. Within 2 hours of the arrest, we still don't know officially why he's arrested. We don't know what the charge is. Everyone's waiting to hear the official charges. And yep. His team, the New England Patriots, decided to release him before any additional information was released. No one knew. It was a lot of speculation, but no one knew until later on that day. How did you and the family feel about the Patriots, his team, that just signed him to this great contract, which certainly was a show of faith to his future, and then this happens, and before all the information comes out, they just cut bait with him? How did you see that?
You know, it really did hurt me. Let me put it this way. I'm not a New England Patriots fan, first of all. I'm a big-time Oakland Raider Nation diehard. So and going through through the years, you know, the Patriots have done a lot of bad things to the Raiders during the regular season, the Tuck Rule game, everything like that.
Oh yeah.
But
oh,
you know,
yeah.
It hurt us. It hurt me because the team put Aaron under the bus. You know, they didn't stand beside him. They didn't know what was going on. They called themselves a classy organization filled with classy people. And to me, that was a show of disrespect to not only a family member, but to a football player on the team. And it was a disrespect to some of the Aaron Hernandez fans that are out there, because no one knew the situation. They just basically said, okay, you know what, we're letting you go. We heard the story. We think you're guilty. And I think any other team in professional sports, or whether, I mean, even if you have a street team, I mean, you have a guy that in that predicament or that situation, you want to stand by him. You know, you want to keep your faith and hope and say, okay, you know what, we're not going to let you go. We're going to keep you, and we're going to see where this ends up. And who knows? I mean, they didn't even waste time to even wait for a verdict. They just like made up their minds and said, you know what, we don't want you anymore. And it really hurt us. You know, it really hurt to see a team do that to somebody, not only to him, but to anybody, you know what I'm saying? That wouldn't wait for the outcome of the situation. And like I said, when I first saw it, and after that, when he was arrested and the Patriots let him go, I mean, I really I didn't know what to do. I really had tears in my eyes. I cried. I prayed. My wife kept asking me what was wrong. I'm like, you know, I really don't want to talk about this right now. There's a lot of things going through my head. But like I said, everything happens for a reason.
Now, looking at it today, we know a lot more now than we did the day he was arrested. There's certainly, no matter how you look at it, we cannot deny that there is a lot of evidence that doesn't look good. The judge residing over the case called it one of the strongest cases she's ever seen. Now, in fairness, we haven't heard the defense's side of it yet, but the prosecution has really put a lot of information out there. Hearing what you're hearing now, do you now think the Patriots made the right call?
No, absolutely not. Our justice system is supposedly it's innocent until proven guilty. And I think they've, in the last few years, our system has gone from guilty to proven innocent. There is a lot of, all the evidence that's out there is all, it's still, like their lawyers are saying, it's all still circumstantial. And I think that even though they so-called have a strong case, I really don't think that they have a lot because, they have no murder weapon. They're still searching for the gun. And the prosecution asked for 30 more days. And while I watched this, the judge was like, well, listen, you already had 30 days to come up with everything that you need. That's why we're in court today. I guess they need, if they couldn't get everything gathered in 30 days and need 30 more days, well, as you see, they're still searching for the gun. They're still trying to gather more evidence. So, like I said, it's just circumstantial. But me as his family member and as all the other family members in our family are still sticking behind him, and we still think to this day that he's not guilty. And that's the way we're going to perceive it, and that's the way we're going to go about it. Like I said, God put him on this earth to play football. And we want him to continue his career with God's help. I think he's going to be able to do that once again. And maybe, who knows, maybe he can sign with the Raiders.
So we look at this case, and as this case is being investigated, the revelation of another shooting comes out. Of a gentleman actually happens to be from New Britain,
right?
And so there's a connection there. Apparently there's some involvement allegedly. I don't know the details. We really don't know the details because charges were not filed. But there's that shooting of a gentleman by the name of Alexander, and and then now they're also trying to connect your cousin to a double homicide from a year ago. And
right.
Even found a vehicle that they say could have been a part of that. So as you hear all of this, are you feeling like, okay, wait a minute. Is there really more here than even we know as family members? Or is this just one big witch hunt?
No, I think to me personally, I think it's just like one big witch hunt because now it's like the media wants to portray him. Like, I tell everybody that, they're portraying him as like, all the murders that are coming up now that they think Aaron did it. You know, they're saying that he killed JFK. They're saying that he killed he knocked King Kong off the Empire State Building. He killed Sinbad. It's all these things that are coming up now that's making him look like this and portray him like this type of mass murderer or mass killer, which we know in our hearts that he's not that type of guy. Growing up, Aaron would, if you met him in person, like everybody else would tell you, he was the most polite, respectful, give his shirt off your back to anybody. And that's the way we saw him grow up. He always had a smile on his face. He was always willing to, if a guy had a flat tire in his car, he'd be the first one there to help him put that tire back on his car and take off. This is the type of family that we are. And we continue to be close to this day, and we still, like I said, in our hearts don't believe that Aaron, our cousin Aaron Hernandez, did this. We just don't see it. We just don't see it at all.
Speaking of family, let me also take a minute to extend our condolences. We know that another family member passed away right here in Bristol in a moped accident.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's uncle, I believe, Mr. Valentine, passed away. So,
yes.
Again, our condolences to that, unfortunate incident. And let me co-sign one thing that you said. I don't know Aaron. I have never come on this show and pretended to be someone that knew Aaron just because I'm from Bristol. But I did
Right.
I met him on Memorial Day. I was at a cookout that he came to, and Odin happened to be there as well, and Aaron's mother, who happens to we joked about having the same name, Terry,
mm-hmm.
and I was impressed by the fact that we're at a Memorial Day cookout, and Aaron says, you know, we're here celebrating Memorial Day. Shouldn't we toast the veterans? And no one else around, you know, it was probably about 15, 20 people, and no one else had suggested that. But he was the one who said, why don't we, you know, grab a glass and toast the veterans. It is Memorial Day, you know. And
right.
And I remember, like, wow, meeting this guy for the first time. And he walks in and he goes, hey, hi, I'm Aaron. I'm like, I know who you are, you know. And I'm meeting him for the first time, and I was like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool, you know, because no one
yes.
else thought of that. You know, so I have to say that, regardless of what the media is saying now, my one-time interaction, I have to say I see exactly what you're talking about. His mother was there,
yeah.
and very well-mannered, very respectful young man, and beautiful daughter, you know, really nice family, you know, I have
right.
to say.
Yeah.
Is that K-Star?
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, I have a quick question. So with how Aaron was detained for, you know, the 30 days and extended another 30 as they try to look for more evidence to hold him,
mm-hmm.
with all that taking place already, do you believe that Aaron will, in fact, when it's all said and done, get a fair trial, or do you think with all the media mudslinging that's going on that he may not? How do you feel about Aaron's trial?
You know, where he's got a great defense team. He's got one of the best top defense teams in the nation, and we feel like that they're going to do their job. We feel like they're going to do everything in their power and everything that they can to do what they do best, and that's defend Aaron. And like I said, we're praying for him. Our church family is praying for him. Our friends, I mean, I put up personally. Put a picture of Aaron every day on my Facebook to let him know that, you know, hey, we got support. We're supporting you. And everybody here on Facebook, most of the people that I have, and I have over 4,000 friends, they go on there every day, you know, and they support him also. So, I mean, he's getting a lot of support from various types of people. I've had DJs come up to me wanting to throw benefit parties for him. I've had people just, you know, hey, is Aaron okay? I still have his uniform. I had four people the other day call me and tell me, hey, listen, I wore Aaron's jersey out here in front of everybody to let him know that we're supporting him. So, I mean, it's a great thing that what everybody's doing. You know, we're just going to see, you know, our justice system, whether you like it or not, is kind of messed up. But, hey, it's our justice system. When we have to go by it. But we do believe that Aaron's going to be okay. And, he wrote the letter that they got a hold of. And I think he's going to be okay. I think God's going to give him back his football career. And he's going to be cleared. And other people that were throwing sticks and stones at him are going to be, you know, resentful for him not being guilty.
Mm. Train, did you have a question at all, by the way?
Sorry, I had myself muted. I hope this question isn't so much out of line. But I know I did read some stories about them saying Tim Tebow trying to help keep him out of trouble when he was back in college. And I was wondering, do you have, like, any, I mean, was that necessarily the case? Because, I mean, for this man to have shot somebody does come out of the blue for someone that I didn't hear about having any kind of track record in college for being in trouble. And it seems like now they're digging up a whole lot of stuff on him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? The thing with Tim Tebow is, like, he was in Florida, so we really didn't have that much contact with him until he came back, like, when the season was over and he was done with
okay.
the school. Then he'd come back over here. and, you know, and hang around with the family and everything. But, you know, Tim, as we all know, is a born-again Christian. So, I mean, as far as, like, him helping Aaron, from what I hear is that they used to go to Bible studies together and everything like that. So, I mean, which was a good thing. I mean, Aaron already has this seed planted in him. As far as religion is concerned, as far as God is concerned, and it's starting to show now with the letters that he wrote, and like I said, everything has a purpose, everything has a reason for it, and I believe that Aaron was put in, you know, in prison for a reason. It still hurts me that he's in there, because it's not like he, you know, he's going to flee the country. He never fled or went anywhere while the investigation was going on. He has a little daughter that's out there that needs him in his life, a fiance, or you could say his wife, that he was about to marry, that needs him also, you know. So it's not good for us to see him in there in that kind of place. But like I said, he's in there for a reason, and he's in there for a purpose. And I still believe, and the people believe, and our family believes that he's going to come out of this situation okay. He's going to come out of the situation okay.
Another question that. And this is a hypothetical. I'm not big on hypotheticals, but I feel that it's fair to ask this question. They are, you know, Pine Lake, which is probably maybe 5 minutes from where I live. they are dredging Pine Lake under a tip that the murder weapon, you know, might be there. And I know, Randy, you have roots here in Bristol as well, and I'm sure you're familiar with Pine Lake. And
yes.
My first thought is good luck finding anything in that lake. But so what would your position be? Tomorrow, it's breaking news, murder weapon found in Pine Lake, and they link it to your cousin.
Wow. You know, I probably wouldn't know how to react. I'd probably be shell-shocked, let's put it that way. But like you said, you know, it's hard to find anything in that lake. It's been there for years.
Mm.
So and it also could be, you know, they could say that they're searching for the murder weapon there, but it could also be somebody, you know, just saying that the murder weapon was there. You know, we don't really know that either. If they got a tip, or if it's just, like I said, another circumstantial a piece of the puzzle. It could be there, it could be not there. We're hoping that, you know, like I said before, we don't know what happened that night. Nobody knows what happened that night except the people that were there, that and God, of course. Nobody knows what happened. There's only a few, and, you know, the truth will come out eventually, because the truth always comes out in the light. And we're hoping that, you know, that Aaron didn't do this. That's all that we're praying. We're praying right now. We're hoping and saying, you know, hey, you know, this is not the kid that would do something like this. This is not the kid that we saw grow up. This is not what family does. And like I said before, we're a very, very close-knit family. I mean, I can remember, like, every Saturday we go over to Aaron's grandfather's house, and everybody that was related, I mean, in our family is one of the biggest Hispanic families in the Bristol area at that time, would all gather together. Would all gather together every Saturday. We'd play dominoes. We'd cook a pig. We'd roast a pig. We'd eat, and then, you know, we'd do it again all next Saturday. Everybody would get together and do it again next Saturday. Mm. So it's that type of family. It's that type of close-knit family. And anybody in our family would give their shirts off their back to anybody. That's just the way our family is. Like you said, Kamish, we're very polite. We're respectful. We understand the situation of the holidays. We understand everything there is. And if we got it and you need it, then you have it.
Right. A couple more questions, and then we'll let you get back to the Yankee game. But I was watching an interview. Ariel Castro is the monster that kidnapped those three young ladies out in Chicago and kept them captive for 11 years. I was watching an interview with his son, who shares his name, but, you know, has a different nickname. And very, very different situation, of course. But, you know, one of the questions they asked him is, do you have any message for your father? And he said, nope. And, you know, could you ever see yourself going to visit your father? Nope. I want nothing to do with him. Would there ever be a situation where you could see you or the rest of the family, you know, turning your back? I've watched you on Facebook, and your support is unwavering. The respectful way that you show your support, and not to forget the victim, Odin Lloyd, and the people affected by his murder, but still to support your cousin has just been admirable. Is there anything that you could see happening that would change that level of support for your cousin?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not now, not tomorrow, not never. We, like I said, growing up as a family, and I'm sure this is the case in everybody's family, that, you know, you have your thieves, you have your drug dealers, you have your I mean, there's everything. I mean, there's your gays, your lesbians. You have one of those, one person like that in every family. And you know what? We still stand behind you. We don't care what you are, what you did, your family, and we're going to support you no matter what the situation or the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what you did. We're blood. We're family, and we're going to be with you to the end. And it's still like that. It was like that before, and it's still like that to this day. We're still going to support him, whether he's right or wrong. We might want to ask the question, if he did became guilty, and hey, why? You know, why would you do this? Why would you ever think about doing anything like that? But as far as our love and our ties are concerned, no, we would never. There's no way that we would never say, you know what, you did this, goodbye, see you later, we don't want to talk to you no more. No, that's not the way family is, and that's not the way family does things. We support Aaron 100% no matter what he did or what he didn't do.
That's great. My last question, if, you know, the Madden Voice is, we're on the internet, we are a iTunes podcast, and it's free. And by the way, if anyone's listening, 347-838-9525. We're up on Twitter, of course. You know how the Madden Voice does. We've got listeners all over the world that call in or tune in or check us out, send us messages. It is pretty unlikely that your cousin would ever hear this show. But in the unlikely event that somehow or another a podcast makes his way and you could speak to your cousin, Take the time right now as if you were talking to your cousin. What is it you'd like to say to him?
You know, I'd look him right in the eye and I'd say, you know, Aaron, we know, I understand what you're going through. I understand the pain that you're feeling right now of not seeing your daughter, of not seeing your friends, of not seeing your friends or your family, or your mom, you know, hanging with your brother, or even just the family in general. But I still want you to know that I love you. You know, we love you. God loves you. And he's the only one that can judge you. And we're going to stick by you no matter what. We've always have. We always will. We're always going to be there for you, right or wrong. Just hang in there. We're praying each day. Our church family's praying for you. Every Sunday when we go to church, they're praying for you, and we're going to see if God's going to clean you out of this mess. He's going to get you out, and you're going to play football again, and I tell him, too, hopefully you can sign with the Raiders. We need a couple victories. And I've been a Raider fan all my life. I've watched them win the 3 Super Bowls with Ken Stabler and Howie Long and Matuszak and company. And I'm still a Raider fan. I'm still a Raider fan to this day.
Hey, we play the Cowboys during the regular season, Commit. So get ready.
Uh oh.
Hey, you also had the pleasure then in the 70s of watching the Immaculate Reception and.
You know
all
what?
It
used to break my heart because it's like the Raiders were. I thought in those times, I think the Raiders were the best football team in that era. It's just that something always happened where, I mean, we finally got over the hump in 76, 77 when we beat the Vikings in the Super Bowl. But throughout those years, I mean, it was one thing after another. If it wasn't the Macklin reception, it was something else. I mean, we could have been the first team, second team to go undefeated that year if it wasn't for the Patriots. They beat us 48-17 up in New England that year.
Wow.
Then, well, you know, yeah, I still remember all this. Well, what my wife tells me, you know, you can't remember our anniversary, but you can remember the 71 World Series champions, right?
saw our NFL film. Didn't cover that.
Well, yeah. let me say this. First of all, I'm not worried about the Raiders this year. Sorry. I'm really not. But, you know, you have to look back and say the great Raider teams under John Madden, what did it spur? John Madden into a, first of all, Hall of Fame coach, legendary announcer, the voice of the video game Madden, which became one of the most popular sports selling video games of all time. And, indirectly, if it wasn't for the great Raider teams in the past, I wouldn't be sitting here hosting the Madden voice, because
this show
spawned off of the love of the video game and covering the video game all over the country and needing a vehicle to just kind of announce what was going on, let people know. I mean, this is a game that's covered by ESPN. This is serious stuff. K-Star could talk about it a lot better than I can. And now here we are, still talking video game, but now segueing into football. And boom, here we are with one of the biggest stories of our time. Right in front of us. So, unless, I don't know if K-Star or Train have any final quick questions they'd want to ask. You guys have anything?
Go ahead, K-Star. I just had one for him.
Okay. Hey, yeah, I'm curious. Since Tim is in the Bristol area, clearly, since he's playing for New England, have you had any contact with your family at all? Or has there been any kind of communication there? Or if you think that's more or less, if not a Patriots thing, where they kind of want to keep them away from any just contact whatsoever?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we still, like, when I go down to Bristol, I live in the Danbury area, but my father and my mother and, you know, my sisters just about every other family member lives in. I mean, I run into a cousin every day in Bristol. It's like I said before, we have a large family. It's like between first and second cousins, it's like 257 of us. So, we run into a cousin like we ride down there. They could be at McDonald's working, at Dunkin' Donuts, on the streets. We'll run into a cousin somewhere. But, we you know, like I said, the family's more or less, you know, hopeful and still, you know, praying, like I said, and you know, we're trying to get this behind us, and it's hard, though, because ever since Aaron's got arrested, we've had one thing happen right after another. We had T.L. Cordero, our cousin, got killed, and then Rob gets killed, and, I mean, it's just one thing after another that's happening right now to our family, you know, and we're hanging in there as best we can to get everything off our minds, and we have to go through everyday life, you know, with thinking that everything's going to get better and that Aaron's going to be, you know, out.
And just so for people out there listening, because, you know, I understand that it's hard to judge proximity from other parts of the country. Everyone knows Bristol is the home of ESPN. Bristol on a good day is about an hour and a half from Foxborough. On a bad day, it's over 2 hours. So it's not like the Patriots are right up the street. It's a couple of hours to get here. The Patriots hang out.
I was just referencing, wondering if Tim had reached out at all, considering the Florida connection. How he loves you, Aaron.
Right.
Yeah. But another thing I'd like to say is that, you know, even though Aaron was left out by the Patriots and out to hang and out to dry, as you could say, you know, there's still a lot of people from the Bristol area that are gathered around and support him. They stand behind him. It's like I hear conversations like when I go to Bristol and overhear conversations, you know, and they're like, you know, we still stand behind Aaron. You know, he's like the pride of Bristol. I mean, he's like, I think, one of the best athletes to ever come out of Bristol, not only Bristol, out of Connecticut, period. you know, and the city still embraces him. The city still has his followers. I mean, that follow him and still support him.
Don't you also see that there are, unfortunately, those that have turned their back, though? That kind of got under my skin, being a local person. It seems that there is a faction of people down here that have just kind of turned their back on the whole on Aaron, and it really annoyed me, being this is my home, and I grew up here as well, and I felt, I don't know, it just bugged me being a local person. Have you seen that at all on your end or not?
I have. I'm most of the people I have seen that. They have said some things like, you know, he's a killer, he's a murderer. Even on my Facebook page, you know, I've had a couple of days ago, I had somebody call in and say, you know, there's a lot of evidence against him, he's guilty, he's never going to leave prison, you know. And I kind of said, you know, can you defer from saying anything negative on my column, you know. I finally blocked the person. But, you know, like I said, we're just, you know, it does hurt, but in a way, it's like, you know, we're, as long as we know that we're praying and we're supporting for him, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I don't care about what you know, they call him, they say things about him. We can't do anything about that anyway, because they're entitled to their opinion. So, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. That's fine. And Danny, just keep the negativity off my page or off so we can't hear it. You know,
right.
we don't
right.
want to hear it. We want to support him. We don't want to degrade him.
Right. I believe Train has one final question.
Yeah, last question. Even when we first talked about this situation on the show, I was telling K-Star and T that it's a sad situation because someone lost their life through this whole matter. And, you know, you guys are, your family is going through what it's going through with Aaron being behind bars, and then on the other end you have another family that, you know, that guy's no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be, well, have there been like any contact as far as condolences from your family to theirs, saying that we're sorry this happened, or, you know, anything of that nature?
I don't know. Personally, I don't know if the family has reached out to the Lloyd family. But I mean, like the commissioner says, I put it on there every day, you know, saying, you know, once every week or twice a week, you know, that we are praying for both the victim and, we know that they lost a family member. We're praying for their family also. And we pray for him for the Lloyd family at church too. Because, you know, both families are looking for answers. And that's the most important thing, I think, you know, right now, is that everybody's searching for the truth. And we everybody wants to find out the truth. Everybody wants to know what happened that night. We don't know exactly. We just have, like I said, allegations and people's perspective on what happened. We don't know what went down that night, what happened, who killed who shot who, if they even shot him at all. But like I said, we just leave it in the justice system. He's got a great defense. The prosecution says they have a great conviction thing here going on. The defense team says that they have a great defense, that everything's circumstantial. So I think we're going to let it play out. We would like to see Aaron here on, you know, I would like to see Aaron be on house arrest so he can be with his family and be with his daughter. Because the kid's not going to go anywhere, you know.
Right.
He's not going to go anywhere. If he was guilty of anything, he would have left a long time ago. You know, I think, or he would have panicked or something, or tried to get out of the country. He didn't leave. He didn't run. He was there. He cooperated with the officers. He cooperated with the Massachusetts Police Department. He was there all that time. And I don't think, I personally, like I said, I don't think he's guilty. I think he's going to be found innocent of everything, and he's going to continue his football career.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Oh,
well.
One last statement. We don't play your Raiders during the season, but the Bears do play your Raiders in the preseason, actually, third week. Actually, be going to check out that game. So
good.
I'll let you know what they look like in person.
Yeah. Well, we're on a decline still. I mean, but McKenzie, our general manager, is starting to get everything together for us. So little by little, the Raiders are Silver and Black will be back little by little. We'll be back to the glory years soon.
All right.
All right. Randy, first of all, from me to you, thank you. You know, I appreciate you coming on. I know that, you know, there's certain media outlets are talking to you and trying to get you to come on the show, come on their show. And so we may see more of you on television or radio elsewhere. So, you know, I appreciate you giving us some of your valuable time to come on and, you know, give your side of things from a family member's perspective. And the one thing I will promise you is as everything unfolds, the one place that we'll never, you know, do this in a disrespectful way is the Madden Voice. We will always cover this story in a respectful way. And at any given time, if you want to come back on and clear the air again or, you know, put some of your, you know, the family side of things out there or what have you, you know, we do this every week and we'll be here and we would love to have you back in the future if needed. So,
or if you want to talk Raider football, maybe Jerry Fadden's having a great season. I believe in him, his talent, so you never know.
I hope so.
If he can stay healthy.
I think his fingernail broke. He's going to be out for another couple of weeks.
injured reserve for a hangnail. But the last thing I will say is, you know, all of our best to
thank you.
Family, you know, we will pray for the family, all of you, and for the victim's family. We will do that.
Thank you, guys.
Anyway, so all of our best. No matter how this turns out, we still want the best for you and your family, and of course for Odin Lloyd's family.
Thank you, really? Thank you, guys, for having me. Thank you for having me on the show, and it'll be my pleasure to come back again. And if this thing's going to drag on for a while, so. You know, anytime you guys want me back on the show and, you know, we could take calls from the public or from the, you know, whatever. I mean, I'd gladly do it. Anything to take all the negative out of the situation and put on the positive. That'd be great.
That'd be great. We'll definitely look into that. Sounds great. Thank you, Randy.
Not a problem. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Randy Garcia. The cousin of Aaron Hernandez. We had him on now for close to 45 minutes talking about their relationship and how the family's coping. And certainly, you know, there's two sides to every story. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of support in that family for Aaron Hernandez. And I hope somehow or another, through this show or through whatever is going on out there, that he feels the support that he's getting, you know, whether he's convicted or whether he's acquitted, the support is clearly there. It's unwavering and it's admirable. You have to admire any family that can bond it, can pull together like that. And this, you know, let's put this in perspective, guys. Okay. This, you know, this is probably the biggest case, in sports since OJ. This is huge. This is an all pro Super Bowl playing, one of the top, definitely a top five tight end in the NFL. Arguably a top three tight end in the NFL. You've got him, Gronkowski, Graham, maybe throw Witten in there. I mean, you know, he's right up there, young, 24 years old. And, you know, at least with the OJ case, OJ was long past his glory days. Aaron hadn't even hit his prime yet. You know, this is a guy who tearing it up on the field with, you know, 10 solid good years if he stayed healthy ahead of him. And so this is a case. This is huge. There's people, you know, right now you turn on the news and we're hearing A-Rod, A-Rod, A-Rod. I'm a little tired of it. But anyway, and so that's, you know, but as details unfold, this is a big, big deal. And that family is staying strong. They are staying together. I mean, that's what you want, you know. You want that kind of support out there, and I admire that. I don't know what you guys, you know, K-Star, start with you. What were your thoughts?
No, I gotta have a strong appreciation for. I mean, a family that's that close knit is a lot of has fallen to adversity. You know, can tear it apart, and here this guy is facing quite the possible charges, and his life is, you know, on the line, and his family, even though with all the circumstantial evidence that's put up against him and all the, you know, the bad media attention that's been placed upon Aaron, they're still sticking strong and holding it out for him and are confident that the truth will be out there when it's all said and done. So, I mean, it's very, very commendable for, again, a family to be that strong in this type of situation.
Train, any thoughts?
I pretty much ditto everything K-Star just said. And just like to add, you know, I commend Randy for coming on at a time like this, on any show for that matter, to talk about such a situation. You know, because most people would probably shove away, you know, and just, you know, stick close to their family. But, you know, he was willing to, like he said, shed some kind of positive light on such a dark situation. So,
yeah, and I didn't get the sense that they are in denial. Their loyalty is blind, but that's what you do when you love someone. But it wasn't denial. More than one time during the interview, he said, and if we find out he did it, then, you know, okay, then we go down that road. But it didn't seem that. Well, they believe in him, but it's not the love is blind, but that's okay. But they're not blind to the fact that it is possible that he did this. They're not blind to that.
Right.
Which is refreshing, because, you know, there is a lot of evidence. It is circumstantial, and we don't know his side of the case, and I'm curious to hear that side of it. But I could hear the willingness to accept the truth. I could hear the willingness of, okay, if we find out that he really did this, then fine, we'll accept it, and then we'll go down that road, but we're still going to support him. Our support is not conditional. Our support is not based on whether he did or didn't do this. Our support is because he's our family and we love him. And if he gets if he's acquitted, then great. You know, come play with the Raiders, you know, and let's get back to, you know, life as normal as it can be. However, if it goes the other route, well, then, okay, then God has a plan, and let's go down that route. And you know, I appreciate that, because what I was looking for was, I thought we might hear some just, oh, there's no way, I don't care what they say. And we didn't hear that. We didn't hear, oh, I don't care what they say, there's no way he could have done it. No, it was, they were, you know, his position was very real, that, hey, anything's possible. We don't know. They know, and, you know, and God knows, but we don't know. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that position. So, yeah, I think, I admire them for coming on. I admire the family for staying strong. And I think we're going to have them back on the show in the future as details unfold. And it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting either way, either route that this case takes. It'll be very interesting to hear, you know, his perspective on things. I didn't get to do it. I wanted to ask a little bit more about the letter that was released, and you know, what was there any additional details that they knew about this letter that came out that TMZ got a hold of, and you know, where Aaron is just pretty much saying, I didn't do it, and you guys will, you know, the truth will come out, and you will see that I didn't do it. You know, which I thought was very interesting. I thought that was very interesting. You know, this show is dedicated to that topic, but let's just take a couple of minutes and just touch on some really quick football news, and then we'll let everyone get out of here. Vince Young signed with the Packers today. Trained, you know the Packers pretty well. That's your division with the Bears. What did you think of that signing?
Aaron Rodgers has no real backup, especially ever since Matt Flynn left. He really knew that system and did well in that system. So Aaron Rodgers goes down, you know, the Packers are in trouble. So you try to find someone that you think can suffice in case it's one of those, you know, week-to-week injuries or something like that. So I just say good signing for the Packers. I mean, dude is a veteran. It gives Young a second chance, because he'll get most of the snaps in the preseason anyway. So good for Vince Young.
K-Star, thoughts on that signing?
Yeah, good for him to get back in the league. He's an athletic guy who deserves second chance. It's not like he played his way out of the league by any means. You know, he had some, I guess, attitude issues prior to it, it wasn't anything that, again, Jamarcus Russell touched us. And honestly, with Green Bay losing their left tackle for the season, I mean, Aaron's blindside is going to be unprotected, or not unprotected, but maybe not protected as it typically would be. And so they may need a bench on to rather the troops in case the worst case scenario happens. So I think it's good timing.
Reported that many teams are in touch with Terrell Owens' agent, and while no one has came out and made a claim, certainly there are talks. Train, you know, should T.O. get another chance in the NFL? Is there room for T.O. to come back and play?
When I saw this, I said to myself, T has to be smiling somewhere. That you may see his favorite player.
My favorite player, that's right. Get your popcorn ready.
You know, like any other veteran, if you still got it, if you still can do it, you get there, you try out, and, you know, you pray for the best that you land with a team. If T.O. still got it, absolutely put him on the field. I mean, as far as physicality is concerned, that dude is a beast. So he's a tough receiver to cover. So, I mean, it's just a wait and see where he ends up going. I know when I was watching, I forgot which NFL show I was watching earlier today, maybe First Take or something, was Sports Center. They were saying the best place for him would probably be New England.
Yeah, that was our First Take. That was Stephen A.
Yeah, okay.
K-Star, thoughts on T.O.?
I don't believe the agent. I believe he's trying to generate hype and put his client's name in, the NFL circles potentially. The only reason why I don't believe is because of the very low interest he had last year, and he had a shot with Seattle. They didn't think he could play at this level anymore. I recall him dropping a very long touchdown and having capable drops in a couple preseason games. At this point, I think the popcorn kernels are all burnt, man. I mean, he had his run. He was a great receiver. He needs – I'm not going to tell him what he needs to do because he absolutely should try. You know, he's Terrell Owens, but I do think that he will not get another chance. And the next time we'll see him as far as NFL-related activity will be when he's inducted into the Hall of Fame.
You know, I do want to say this. I was amazed to find out that Seattle's trio of receivers had the lowest number of receptions in the NFL last season. So, while Seattle cut them, you know, you got to wonder, was it a smart decision? The other thing I'll say is, you know, T.O. is a beast. T.O.'s work ethic, certainly he learned a lot playing under Jerry Rice. And his work ethic certainly mirrors that of Jerry Rice, who played till he was 42 years old. I think teams would be just stupid to not give him another shot. If for no other reason, that work ethic, that dedication at going to be 40 in December and still looking like a Greek god, still running a 4.3 40, still working out every day. I mean, I think people take that for granted. And these young prima donna wide receivers out there that just think, you know, that just think, I guess like T.O. used to be, that just think, you know, hey, I've got all the talent in the world. I don't need to work that hard. Hey, you know, bring T.O. on the team and let's shake these guys up a little bit. I would love to see him back. I don't always agree with Stephen A. Smith, but I agree with him. I think this is a guy who Hall of Fame numbers, give him one shot. Somebody, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the Raiders, I don't really care, honestly. I know it won't be Dallas. Dallas will not bring him back. But whatever team it is, give one more shot and keep him on the route. Okay, he dropped a long touchdown pass in preseason. Gotcha. Okay. They said that's not why they cut him. We don't know. But give him a shot. Give him a shot. You know, I believe that he will be a model citizen. He will work his butt off. And when you need him, when you need a third down play, he's going to become some team's go-to guy. He's going to be some team's reception, or he's going to be a decoy as he goes deep running that 4.3 that he can still run. I just think there is a spot for him out there. And, you know, why not? Why not? You know, one thing you can say is the guy works hard. So why not give him a chance? But I'm a little partial because I love seeing the guy play the game. I just think his enthusiasm, his exuberance for the game, why not bring that into the NFL, you know? And you know, he's been humble. You know, his stint with Cincinnati and I believe it was Buffalo, humble. So give him a shot. Got nothing to lose. Last comments, any thoughts on the Hall of Fame? I don't really care about the game. It was just a game. But, you know, the Hall of Fame, I'm actually going to start and I'll let you guys jump in. But I didn't watch all the speeches because I just didn't have the patience. But I really appreciate Bill Parcells and what he did, not only as a head coach, but as a developer of other coaches. When you look at Sean Payton and you look at Bill Belichick and Tony Dungy and some of these guys that came up under Parcells, and all of these guys have won Super Bowls, you really have to think about the legacy of what Parcells has done. And to be currently, and I didn't know this, the only coach to take four teams to the playoffs. Like, wow, you know, so he's my all time favorite coach. And even though we didn't get a Super Bowl win with him in Dallas, I loved him as a head coach. I loved his interviews. I just thought he was just – I'm sorry that he's no longer coaching. And it was really great to see him up there. So I enjoyed that more than anything else. Any quick comments on the Hall of Fame inductees train?
I rarely ever catch those speeches. All I do is catch – the clips, man. <To be honest. laughs> and I wait for the game because I'm thirsting for football. But congratulations to them all. They definitely got some spirited people in there with Chris Carter and Warren Sapp because you know they were good at what they did, but man, they talked a lot. So
yeah. K-Star, anything?
First of all, I got to give a shout out to Jonathan Ogden, who actually met Matt Imbel a couple of years ago when the Super Bowl was in Indianapolis. That man is the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, the guy is just ridiculous. But anyway, really nice guy. As a player, I want to give him a shout out because, I mean, I know he's on the Ravens or was on the Ravens, whom clearly not a fan of, but he was an incredible, incredible left tackle. And to be the number one pick by that franchise in that draft and just by them in general, and then be you know the first Pro Bowler and now the first Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame player, it's pretty impressive. And Larry Allen, 700 pounds bench press, that's to this day incredible. I thought his comment about the 40 ounces and everything that he knew we met his future wife at when she made him a few baked chickens and some cake, and again, given the 40 ounces that he knew that she was the one. I thought that was pretty entertaining, but great class. And I was a little miffed that Chris Carter had no mention of Randy Moss. Not that Moss helped build him up by any means, but I do believe that Moss deserves some kind of acknowledgement for Chris's later veteran years of being able to get to that 1,000th catch and moreover by being singled up all the time. But I know there's a little bit of bad blood between them. But
what? Huh? Yeah. Wait a minute. What? What? Why?
Why not? I mean, the guy, I'm just saying, the guy helps him play at a high level in his twilight of his career.
And I thought he was a big part of that. Hold on. How did Randy Moss help Chris Carter? It's the other way around. Chris Carter bought the best out of Randy Moss.
No. I'm not saying that Chris Carter didn't mentor. Clearly, he could come out from an X and O standpoint. The point of the matter is when Randy Moss.
Randy had nothing to do with
he was
that.
That's
game planning. That's not Randy. Randy wants the ball
every play.
Well, that's
helping him get those receptions. That's all I'm not saying that
not
he was.
Randy doesn't want that. You're acting like Randy went out there and was pleased to be a decoy or pleased to be double teamed so that Chris Carter could make catches. Randy didn't want that. Randy wants to go out there and get thrown every ball. He could give about how many catches Chris Carter had. He could give two craps about Chris Carter. I wouldn't have said nothing about him either. And, yeah, they had a beef, you know, because Randy didn't give Chris Carter the respect that Chris Carter deserved for mentoring Randy Moss and showing him the ropes. So, now, hell no. You want to go talk to Denny Green or someone about the X's and O's Because wasn't Danny Green the coach of Minnesota back during them days when Culpepper was there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So talk to him about that. Give him a shout out for game planning and all that. Or you know, Dante Culpepper. But, you know, not Randy Moss. Hell no. Randy Moss don't deserve anything for what Chris Carter accomplished. Nothing. He just happened to be the other wide receiver. Very good wide receiver. But he's
definitely
the other wide receiver. That's not Randy's desire, though. That's not – Randy didn't do that. Randy happened to be a talented wide receiver on the Vikings. But Randy wasn't the one saying, hey, let's scheme this so that Chris Carter can get more catches. So you can't give Randy –
I don't care what Randy's intent was. I'm just saying by Randy's presence, it helped Chris Carter. That's all I'm saying.
Well, then why give Randy
– I don't agree with that because Chris Carter was a beast before Randy got there.
I'm not saying that he wasn't, but Chris Carter was much older when Randy
came. He continued to be a beast.
You're right.
My thing is,
he had Randy Moss on the opposite side taking the safety.
I hear what you. I hear what you're saying, but see, Randy Moss coming to Minnesota, it was not like Randy Moss going to the other teams and opening it up for other receivers like he did when he came back to Minnesota and kind of opened it up for Percy Harvin and all. Chris Carter was, people had the game plan for him alone because he was one of those receivers that was disciplined in his route and caught everything that came in.
And
that makes you tougher to defend. Makes you tougher to defend than a receiver that just streaks down the field with his hand up. Because Chris Carter went over the middle to the sideline, wherever he went. When it came his way, he caught it. Even in double team, he was a beast, dude.
Hold on. No one is saying Chris Carter wasn't a beast. If you don't believe, again.
But you can't.
And by the way,
you
Randy
can't turn around and say he should give a shout out to
Carter
Randy.
No.
Part of his career.
First of all, Randy. First of all, hold on. Randy again had better
Randy
numbers.
Randy ran routes. Randy ran routes. That's what Randy would do.
What Randy.
You should care because you brought it up.
Randy changed the whole game plan, and he helped again.
But it wasn't his game.
Chris Carter prolonged his career to still play at elite level. When he left Randy and went to Miami, he was fired halfway through the season because he was bad.
It was not his game plan. He didn't like the game plan. So don't sit there and say he owes him something.
Thankful.
The guy didn't even like the game plan. He went out there and ran routes and bitched when he didn't get the ball. He complained that he wasn't getting the ball.
Oh, sure.
That has gotten to be one of the most ridiculous things you have ever said on this show. I cannot believe you thought Randy Moss should get a pat on the back because he was doing what he was told to do. Lord have mercy. Chris Carter earned every accolade.
He's thankful for playing Randy. Yeah,
this is why the Madden voice is so exciting.
You know what? I'm a Randy Moss fan, and you know what? That's fine. Because when Randy Moss goes to the Hall of Fame, it's okay. He'll be known as a better receiver, so it's fine. I'm a Randy Moss fan. You're a TL fan. You're saying all these ridiculous things about TL coming back to the NFL. Stop it. Come on, Randy Moss.
Unlike you, I wouldn't mind seeing Randy Moss back in the NFL. But where is he? What did he do with his opportunity with San Francisco? Because they let him go out.
He was a model. He was a role model in the locker room. Apparently he wasn't.
He went to the Super Bowl and said he was the best receiver that was ever in a 49ers jersey. That's what he did with his opportunity. Who does that, man?
So that changed everything. Okay. One comment on the video week about him saying that he's the best receiver of all time. All of a sudden changed the whole landscape of the season. Now he was a distraction.
Don't put words in people's mouths. He said in a 49er uniform that he was the best receiver ever the 49ers ever had. Jerry Rice went through.
Oh, he said he's the greatest receiver of all time. He didn't say the best.
Obviously, if he's the best receiver of all time, that would be
But you're putting words in his mouth. I'm sorry. You're putting words in his mouth now. Randy didn't say that. Randy said, I'm the greatest receiver of all time. Don't put words in Randy's mouth and then accuse me of doing the same.
You just made it worse. I'm in a 49er uniform saying the best receiver of all time when the best receiver of all time won 3 Super Bowls on that very team. Shut up.
The Raiders. Who cares? Randy didn't say that. Randy said I'm the greatest of all time, as he should. As a competitor, as a man who's second in NFL touchdowns of all time. Yeah, he should have that mindset.
Okay, you don't say that when you're a journeyman and you're in a 49ers jersey.
I believe he's the greatest of all time. K-Star.
I'm sorry?
You believe he's the greatest of all time?
I believe Jerry Rice was because he had a great situation of all time.
And I want to clarify, is he the greatest of all time or not? You
yeah,
just said
he should. Well, I don't like calling Randy fan. Randy should feel like he's the best. Of course he should feel like he's the best. He thinks he's the best.
So you think that's positive for him to go on, knowing we all know who the best wide receiver of all time is. It's undisputed. There's no discussion there. There's no conversation.
Wow.
So what's the point?
Well, I want to go that far.
He's not even – Randy Moss.
It is a discussion because Randy Moss played on two of the greatest high-scoring offenses of all time, and he also broke Jerry Rice's touchdown record this season.
You're going to sit there and tell me that you could make a case that Randy Moss
– That's why – you know what? And that's why the debate happened throughout the whole week. That's what was driven by the comments. Oh, Randy's so offensive. The conversation
was no debate. No one debated it because no one is as ignorant about this subject as you are. There's no debate.
How am I ignorant when I'm saying that Randy Moss, again, is the most explosive player of all time? I said that all I'm saying is Jerry clearly had a better career. I'm not disputing that. I never said that. But
under
career situation,
there is the only thing Randy Moss can say is I was a better deep threat. That's it. That's all he's got. That's
an athlete.
Better athlete?
Yes. Please
on the football.
That. No. Yeah, absolutely. He was a better athlete. There's nothing you can't deny that. If Randy Moss had Jerry Rice's heart, that would be the greatest player of all time.
Over the middle. Yeah. Possession receiver. Randy Moss, a possession receiver?
I didn't know possession translated to talent. He ran a 4.2 40. He wanted to take a string 99 yards. Who cares?
No one's going
to
doubt it.
Let's go to the Aston run over the middle. Why would he run over the middle? We can score on one play every single time.
Jerry Rice get caught from behind? Did you ever see Jerry Rice get caught from behind? Bring a squirt gun to a fight.
You just said Jerry Rice is a better athlete than Randy Moss. That is
on the
laughable.
Football field. Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, he had the heart. He had the heart, and he was a great player. And he is, again, based off his career, the greatest of all time.
Jerry could run screens. Jerry could do it all. He could do it all.
I'm saying he couldn't do it all. He wasn't.
Has always been a one-trick pony. Go deep.
That was the best trick I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely. The best deep threat maybe in the history of the NFL. Won't doubt that. But that's a one-trick pony. You have the audacity, the unmitigated gall to come on and spew rhetoric that Randy Moss – better than Jerry Rice, and you want to
Randy Moss is the better. Hold on, wait. No. You're putting words in my mouth. I said Randy Moss is definitely the better athlete than
No. Back up. You said that Randy Moss has every right to think that he was better than Jerry Rice.
Yeah, because he's a competitor. What else is he supposed to think? You don't want your player. Listen, you don't want Emmitt Smith to think he's the greatest running back of all time. He shouldn't have that mindset. Why shouldn't he?
Emmitt Smith has the most touchdowns, the most carries, the most yards, and 3 Super Bowls.
So Emmitt Smith is the greatest running back of all time.
I don't think he is, but if he thought it, there's 4 facts right there that could back his claim. Randy has none. He's got none. He doesn't have the. He doesn't have
two greatest teams in NFL history, highest scoring and offenses of all time. Randy Moss's team.
And what did that do for him? And what did that do for him? They didn't win a Super Bowl. So what are you talking about? Ain't that the whole point of the game? To win games and to win a Super Bowl? Who cares? And you're going home without a championship. That's
again,
the whole point.
Landry Seaver, not a quarterback. I don't know what you're going to do.
Super Bowl teams for 2 quarterbacks, 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks. What did Randy Moss do? Bounce around like a journeyman, you know, go to Oakland and not even really perform. Said, I take plays off. I only play when I want to play. Come on, K-Star.
Yeah.
That's
his heart. That has nothing to do with him. Listen. I'm not saying Randy Moss. If Randy Moss at Jerry Rice's heart, he would have shattered Jerry Rice's records, and you know that.
Did you just say that's his heart? It's got nothing to do with it, and then you caught yourself because you know how stupid you were sounding. Please tell me.
Randy Moss's heart. Randy Moss had no heart in Oakland.
Okay.
Ridiculous do you sound trying to say that Randy Moss would not, if he had Jerry Rice's heart, shatter all his records? Anyone with a mind, with half a brain, with an eye, can see that.
If everybody doesn't have Jerry Rice's heart. That's the whole point. You just said it.
No one has Randy Moss's talent, and that's the point. That's why that man finished second all time with one play, according to you. That one play he did was just go deep. The one thing he did.
Randy Moss was a great wide receiver, but at no point in his career can you compare him to Jerry Rice. There is Jerry Rice, and then there's everybody else. So you have a better argument comparing him to T.O. That's a much better debate on who's better, Randy Moss or T.O. Much better debate. I'll give you that one. That's a toss-up. You could argue it either way. I think T.O. is better. You think Randy was better. Hey, that's a great debate. But to even take a second to try to put him on Jerry Rice level, like I said, you're destroying your credibility as an NFL analyst.
No. Again, he should feel that way. If you don't think he should feel that way, then you don't know what it is to be a competitor. It's really that simple. I didn't have a problem with what his comment was because, again, he should feel that way.
Feel me that way, and please don't tell me what I don't know because you don't know what I know. And I was competing in sports.
Well, clearly, you don't understand what a competitor is.
Sports before you were born, okay?
Okay, on a level, you still know what a competitor is if Randy Moss can't have that mindset.
It's an All-American high school high hurdler, okay? So I was competing at a level you never saw. So don't talk about, don't make it about you and me. What I am saying is simply this. He can think and feel whatever he wants, but when you come on Super Bowl week with the cameras in your face wearing a 49ers uniform and you're going to say, I am the best wide receiver of all time, that's blasphemous. That is ridiculous. That's like Reggie Bush going to Detroit right now and saying, I'm the best Detroit Lion running back they've ever had.
I mean,
you really say that? Hell no. Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Could he feel that way? Sure. Feel any way you want to feel. Tell yourself anything you want to tell yourself. You know, go in the locker room and pound your chest. That's fine. But when the cameras are blaring, that's permanent. And Reggie Bush would have no right saying that any more than Randy Moss has any right on international worldwide TV saying that he's better than Jerry Rice wearing the 49er colors. That is ridiculous. Keep that stuff to yourself.
Again, Randy Moss, second all-time touchdown receptions in NFL history.
Your point
is Reggie Bush to Barry Sanders is ridiculous. That's a terrible comparison.
Second to who?
Jerry Rice, but again, he should feel that way. When you're second all-time NFL record, he probably should feel that way.
I've already given you guys a preview of what you will find on the Madden Voice this year, which is pretty much me educating K-Star, who just simply doesn't seem to understand football like we thought he did. But you know what? That's okay, though, because here on the Madden Voice, we will bring you to where we are. Okay, we will get you there. And that's a good thing about the show is it's fans with other fans, and everyone has different perspectives and different opinions. And I respect K-Star's opinion, even if it's not based in reality. I still respect it. But in time, he will begin to see the light. He will begin to understand that on this show, you must bring facts to the conversation. And that's what we do. We bring facts from a fan's perspective to the conversation. We will be back. You bring up. You didn't bring no facts. You got the fact that it's better than Randy Moss. I mean, better than a Jerry Rice.
I never said that.
None. What are we talking about? This?
Never said that. Archive it.
Never. What are we talking about? Train, I'm gonna give you the final word because I can.
Man, just got a text message from one of my favorite listeners. My friend that's the Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and she just texts, and the season began between K-Star and T, which I thought was funny. But, man, still a great show. I love the way y'all kick off that debate. It sounded like a LeBron versus Michael Jordan debate before LeBron started winning a couple of championships, and even though he's still not Michael Jordan. But
don't even get it. Because he starts coming off saying LeBron.
Right.
Hey, LeBron should feel that way, though. That's all I'm saying.
I never said that. Randy Moss can feel any way he wants. Randy Moss can feel any way he wants. I never said he could. He can feel. I don't give a damn how Randy Moss feel. That's not the issue. The issue is when you hit the media, how do you present yourself? Confidence is one thing. Stupidity is another. That is blasphemous to go and think you're better than Jerry Rice. It's just, and you're right. Just as blasphemous it would be for Reggie Bush to think that he's better than Barry Sanders. Yes, that's it. That is exactly the comparison I'm making. Both are ridiculous. Anyway. All right, guys. We need to get out of here.
Just my last two words. Looking forward to the next week. First time seeing some teams on the field. Just want to see some fundamental football. Nothing, because it's preseason. But, just excited to see what the new Bears head coach can do for our offense. Maybe we'll get downfield with the first team. Fantasy football draft coming up also on the next show, so I'm excited about that. We'll see what positions we draft in for our live draft, which will be on the 25th, I believe.
Excellent. So we'll be back next Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll talk more NFL talk here on the Madden Voice. First of all, let me go back and thank the cousin of Aaron Hernandez, Randy Garcia, for being so generous with his time tonight and for coming on the show. And for all of you who may have tuned in late, we're on iTunes. Just go on iTunes and just look the Madden Voice. We're free. I don't charge anybody for listening to the show. So check us out and tell all your friends about it, too, while you're there. The Madden Voice. Check us out on Twitter, the Madden Voice. Check us out on Facebook. Go on our Facebook page and like us, the Madden Voice. And, you know, if you're curious about us, go to Google and just put in the Madden Voice. We're everywhere. We will be back next Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. So, again, for Dr. Train, for my good friend K-Star, want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. And remember, the Madden Voice will be here every week right through football season. And ultimately, all feuds are settled on the field. Good night, everybody.